strong in any crisis, rarely ever got it wrong. She could be for others, collected, brave and strong. Always had solutions to the puzzles they each strife. Undoing others' knots made all their bows too tight. She the tree where all could safely nest. How well she played the leading lady's part. Silence, kindness, courage, she made it look an art. But when the theatre dimmed, she changed to play the clown. Alone with only darkness, the small things brought her down. The dust moths of distress could scratch like pointed knife, spreading hairline fractures along the lacquer of her life. Stress bent her spine a little, made her tilt a little left, and the tiny, unimportant things now made her feel bereft. For herself, she found no answers. Looking out at life, she found one hair upon the pavement had the power to bring her down. The passé Dresden lady, a little less than whole, a figurine with faults concealed between the crafted folds.
Been a while since I was buying a microphone. I think most of you know that. An egg lies still now. Life's prequel. Left to dust, how? Poached quail lunch, wow. Tasty rice eaten here, yummy. Children enjoy games on the street all day. Called in too early, always. Never missed was a rock thrown away. Never forgotten was a fountain penny. Always heard was a cry out loud. Absolute friends plus poetry joy. This is five word challenge Heineken Guinness.
Thank you, Roland. Next, we have Evelyn Casey. Woo! 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 To replenish and thrive and keep the embryo alive and to bleed with the pain that we both share. The cycle revolves around the findings of love. You embrace, climax, and wait. Then the walls of the womb cocoon like a tomb and meet the contemplations too late. A single cell starts to flow, multiply and grow to form fetal child. Nourished and nurtured with care till the baby pours forth from the neck to the wild. This repeats time and time till the womb can no more, its sell by date had arrived. Its sorry old cradle, torn, tired and unable, where once it kept this dear child alive. From inside the abdomen a strange kind of omen tells that abnormal cells are to fear. Its death and its gloom and its out with the womb, a radical hysterectomy must hear. As it leaves its birthright under the surgeon's knife, the ovaries, shoot, and the rest. A cavity forms, an emptiness scorns in a space that once was its nest. Now it's cut and it's bruised, neglected and used for research with a pathology crew. and the scientists wander and gently ponder in a room with a womb with you. Thank you very much, Evan. Next we have Terry Murray. Okay, next we have Carl Holden.
All my original stuff's kind of been sat down me by your mail. So I had to drag through my files to my own one from years back. They kind of melodramatic. Acapella bombs with bullets burst. A loser is a winner whose blood flows first. A missile is a fist with a longer reach. A soldier is a teacher with hate to teach. An explosion is a scream and a deeper voice. A refugee is a king whose power lacks choice. A king is a poor man rich in gold. A poor man's bought. The poor man's soul. That's it. I have one more that I'd like to do. It's a cover. It's by Saul Williams. It's an amazing poem. It's called Talk to Strangers. Once I wrote the first line, it's like, now I wasn't raised at gunpoint, and I've read too many books to distract me from the mirror when I'm happy with my looks, and I ain't got proper diction for the makings of a thug. So I grew up in the ghetto, my niggas all sold drugs. Well, that may validate me for a spot on MTV, or give me all the airplay and my bank account would need. I was hoping to invest in a lesson that I'd learned when I thought this fool would jump me just because it was my turn. And I went to an open space because I thought he wouldn't do it if someone there could see him, or somebody else might prove it. And I know that in your eyes it might seem I got pumped out because I walked a narrow path. And I went and changed my route. But that openness exposed me to a truth I couldn't find in the clenched fist of my ego, or the confines of my mind, in the hideous of my swagger, or the swagger in my step, in the scowl of my grimace, or the meanness in my rep. Because we represent a truth, son, that changes by the hour, and when you open to it, vulnerability is power. And deep within that shifting form, you'll find a truth that doesn't change, and that truth is living proof. The fact that God is strange, so talk to strangers when family fails or friends lead you astray. When Jesus weeps and Buddha laughs, it turns out God is gay. As angels and messiahs, love can come in many forms, in the hallways of your projects, or the fat girl in your dorm. And when you finally take the time to see what they're about, perhaps you find them lonely, or their wisdom trips you out. And this is the only way we're going to make it through this storm, where common sense is ignorance and senselessness the norm, where flags wave high above the truth and that you never touch, where stolen goods are overpriced and freedom costs too much, where no one seems to recognize the symbols come to life, the bitten apple on the screen, and Jesus had a wife, and she was his messiah, like that stranger could be yours, who holds a subtle knife that carves through worlds like magic doors. And that's what I've been looking for, the bridge from then to now. Was watching BET like, what the fuck, son, this is foul. But that square box don't represent the sphere that we live in. The earth is not a flat screen, I ain't trying to fit in. And this here ain't for the underground, this here is for the sun. A seed the stranger gave to me, I planted on my tongue. And when I look at you, I know I'm not the only one. As a great man once said, there is nothing as powerful as an idea this time that has come.
Oh. Oh. Okay, Terry, are you ready to speak?
Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Richard.
I look at the index again. I think I've lost the page before. Thank you, Paul. Since it's Gout and Eve, May Eve, my partner will be 7 years dead this month, May. So I read the poem I wrote from Isis on Edward Street. Once the moon was an amulet on a chain of stars, and your fingers the clasp around my heart, but they are prizing apart now, strand by delicate strand.
since Sirius has died in your eyes, blue lights without filaments. On Edward Street, hieroglyphs of faded memories, scoured by time and rain, hunkered at the base of a Rosetta Stone, beside the barracks wall. Yet May has come once again, and the year has turned twice. The eye of Horus is squinting sunlight through the leaves of a horse chestnut, and resurgent spark has restored something to me after my long stay in the house of the dead on the other side of the Nile, where you still dwell. And my body is railing against the imposition of wood and soil, as the roots of trees do against concrete and tar. Still there are nights, if I could only shred the sheets in my bed, infuse them in the tears of onions, smear with unguents of rosemary, bind you limb by limb, fuse sinew, tissue and tendon to remember you, to remember you. Take your heart from the canopic jar on the shelf and coax it back to throbbing. But all these things are beyond my powers. Osiris, my love, my love. I must go now to walk alone, the soles of my sandals leaving silver imprints of crescent moons from the Rosetta Stone to the chestnut tree. Thank you.
Next we have the British Boss.
It's called Step Dancer, and it's in memory of my grandmother Bridget Thompson, wife of the poet Joseph Thompson, that she had spoken earlier. Step Dancer. In the space between two kitchen chairs, my father and brother lending their weight to keep them pinioned to the floor, your age-marked hands rested, one on the back of each, while you danced your own slip jig in stockings, silently marking time on the polished flags. I stood in the open doorway, where light from the yard flooded in, and I looked into your sad and ancient eyes, alive then with the hearth song of your youth, alone in a world of secret sallies over green reed beds and grey crags, a green girl dancing on the cusp of womanhood. And I saw a half-remembered smile play in the puckers of your pursed lips. Who was it that step-danced through your memory's open gate and swiftly out again? Too soon to ask you then, and now too late.
And next we have Christy O'Donnell.
Okay, I wrote this after getting banned from the church. I call it banned from God's house. I was a very good Catholic mass attendee. After all, there were stories on a Sunday, and they were free. Or so I thought, until the end of each day, when a basket appeared each week without fail. And into this basket, what money you had. And your man at the altar was telling you his head. God will be pleased to know that we care. And if you have any more cash, will you put it in there? So I figured it out, that if you stood at the altar, and you could tell stories, and you didn't falter, a basket was sent round the pews in the church. And if the story was good, God knows how much. Money was left in the pile up in front, where your man regaled us each week by the font. So I practiced my reading, and how I tell my tale. And I went up in front of my audience to regale. And when it was told, I stayed back waiting in the church. My story was good, I wanted to see if it was worth much. And what do you want, your man said to me. I want my share of the money in the basket, like he. But there they said the collector's counting the stash. I wanted my share, so I only raked for the cash. I heard the man saying, who gave more or who gave less? And your man put me into the box and taught me to confess. But I wouldn't budge, and he couldn't explain. This was church money, and here it would remain. Get out, you pup, before I put my boot up your arse for trying to make my sermon look like a farce. Fine, I replied, and on my walk home I'll tell all who gave what and who didn't pay anything at all. And told them I did on my way home that very day. I knocked on all their doors telling them what your man had to say, who he was pleased with, and who paid all they could, and how I was paid nothing, so wasn't my story just as good. Next week at mass, there he was at the door. You're barred, he said, you're not welcome here anymore. So at night, I was barred, and he wished me nothing went. But he did tell my parents I'd be going straight to hell. Who cares, I said, for calling on your farm. At least I'd be welcome, and for sure I'd be one.
Okay, for a short one, I wrote this some years ago. This is called Self Moment. You whisper the word fissure on flat limestone rock as if it was the first time you spoke, murmuring over fissure, fissure, the one that you know. And next we have Rosalind. Whoops.
Can you do that?
Sure.
I never.
Can you help me?
I never get along with you tonight. Well, that blinking light there suits the song. Do the song tonight, which came out of a great night of inspiration with the Leinster Slam Poet and some of the fellas. It's not quite as dub as you'd expect after a night with James Cummins, but it's a song anyway. Okay, here we go. It's called Drink. Out to the pub, just for a pint, a good night with the fellas, a cheer, a fling, the first cool drink is running down the gullet. The first one makes you happy, the second makes you high, but when you let the third pint flow, sorrow makes you sigh. In search of fun and happiness, you got the fourth pint down. There is no point in drinking on, search is never done. Go on, go on another round, the fifth makes you depressive. Go on, go on another round, the fifth makes you depressive. A good night out just for a pint, the sixth gets you aggressive. A piece, another shot, the seventh pint is heavy. So drinking on is all you've got, you pay a heavy levy. And when you leave the bar at night, and when you leave the bar at two, with 8 pints in your brain, along the drains you stagger home, embarrassed to the bone. Out to the pub, just for a pint, the first one makes you happy. The search for fun is never done, so just keep drinking on, so just keep drinking on.
This poem has two names. So this poem is called What Chance Has Meaning in All of This Meaning? / My Brain is Melting. A friend of mine called Rainbow posted something online today. It read, "It doesn't have to be how it is." I took it that she meant everything and she did not specify. "Rearrange and unlearn," she told the world. It doesn't have to be A, B, C. I read, now all in uppercase and bookended by smiley faces, while I instantly and happily and musically and with the expression of a doped up sloth began to recite in my mind the E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, P, Q, R, S, D, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. And then I thought, I really like the alphabet. I like the way it sounds. L-M-N-O-P, Q-R-S, T-U-V. It's got a ring to it, I thought. I did look back down and saw that Rainbow's final line was just a list of separated letters. And even though I liked how its predecessor had rhymed nicely, my eyes drifted again somnolently away as I scrolled down to where another friend had simply typed in capitals, YOLO. Now just yesterday I learned that YOLO means you only live once, and also that TIL stands for Today I Learned. TIL, that the collective noun for flamingos is a flamboyance, and that the collective noun for unicorns is a blessing. And also that some content can mix on its way into you, as I happen to be imagining a flying unicorn farting a rainbow as I scrolled back up and then unintentionally settled on Rainbow's last line that read, I-O-P-U-C-U. Why? F-U-C-U. U-C-U-R-B-U-T. I don't get it, I thought, as I began to imagine a cat in a parallel universe updating the status on his preferred social networking site by typing on his specifically designed keyboard with its paw-sized keys while a human sits in the corner licking his bum. The cat pressed the giant caps lock button and then typed Y-O-L-N-T in the hope that any of his friends who might read his message would, from that moment on, feel inspired to live each of their nine lives as if it were their last. But alas, Yolent doesn't have quite the ring to it that YOLO does, and so his acronym did not catch on, or even mean a thing to anyone. 10 or 15 minutes later, I began to stop imagining giant cats and content naked human pets and parallel universes, and then I wondered for a millisecond if what we know to be modern living could be having any detrimental effects, before smiling contently at a picture of Abraham Lincoln riding a T-Rex into battle.
Thank you, Simon. Next we have Rob Orcutt.
Lads, this is a book of literary criticism. It's called Reality Hunger by a guy called David Shields, and David Shields argues for, amongst other things, the death of the novel and the death of biography. He says the way ahead is the lyrical essay. So this is the end of the bit I'm going to read is at the end of a chapter where he's been basically reviewing books, but he never tells you which books he's reviewing or whose books they are, and he has this to say, okay? Pardon me. Let me tell you what your book is about. Incomnia are all notes I wrote to friends about their books. My impulse is always to push the book towards abstraction, towards sadness, towards darkness, towards doubleness, towards 17 types of ambiguity. I always try to read form as content, style as meaning. The book is always, in some sense, stutteringly about its own language. I'm always framing myself and the author as the lone fount of dark wisdom. I'm always the exponent of airy despair. I never touch ground. Metaphysical is big. In my formulation, the subject of the book is never what it appears to be. I frequently say that the book is seen to be about X, when really it's about Y. I always read the book as an allegory, as a disguised philosophical argument. Existence is frequently mentioned, as are human, animal, sex, fuck, and violence. I love the words powerfully and enormously and relentlessly and bottomlessly. I use investigation and exploration and excavation and examination and rigorous over and over. What would I do without meditation? There's always an implied love story between me and the writer. Me loving the book, loving the writer. Candor is key. Being willing to say what no one else is willing to say. The act of writing is inevitably viewed as an act of courage. Brave is all over the place. Life's difficult, maybe even a drag. Language is slim solace. No one else gets what you're doing. I alone get it. You and me, babe. Intimacy, urgency. We alone get life. Let me explain to me your book, the text, to yourself. Let me tell you what your book is about. Life is shit. We are shit. This alone will save us. This communication.
Thank you, and our last poem tonight, Kieran McCullough, or Kieran McCullough, sorry.
This is from the corner of Twaston Avenue across Heredy Road. Toward the boulevard of broken dreams, you tread, tread slow. Look left and right down the long winding street of Prosperity Row. There's a still chill in the night, a feel that it may snow. Second street on the left, Twaston Avenue's streetlights glow. Neighborhood watch says the kids are acting strange, and the MD's son is in on time for a change. The porch light shines as he keys open the door. There's a smell of new polish from the kitchen floor. Dinner's in the microwave, says the note on the refrigerator. Mommy had a headache, had to go to bed. Baby, please don't hate her. Father's away on business, won't be back for a while. Kitchen table gathers dust, the mirrors never smile. Cushion kids on the school bus laugh at God from behind their science book. They echo what the TV says, look how the magazines look. Who needs to find an answer when it's been posted up online? The Bible is modern fiction, science always shines. If that great promise can't explain it, someone's done something wrong. Opinion sounds silly now, you have been young too long. Mother, what did you do today? Your son became a man. God lives in the clouds. I read it on a Coca-Cola can. An introspective flag of self-importance flies from the corner of Twaston Avenue and Prosperity Row. Beneath it, the grass does grow. All around, the streetlights glow. There is a field that it may snow. There is a field that it may snow. Thank you.